And now I'm going to introduce Carl to come up here and speak to us.
Okie dokie. I'm Carl and I'm an addict. So loving you and losing me is what he just asked me to say to make sure I announce the workshop name. So, I tell you, it's always so humbling to come up here. Even after doing this for a little over a decade, I'm always humbled to feel the nervousness, the insecurities, the wanting to be accepted. Please God, don't let me fuck this up. Please let me sound good. Please let me carry a message. So like I said, I just celebrated 10 years. I made 10 years in January. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, this process, like even this, the title of this workshop, I mean, that journey of learning what love is has been my greatest gift. Because even in my childhood, I was always in my head. I did think a lot of others, but I thought way more about myself. I thought about how I looked, what people thought about me. You know, if I made a mistake, I would stay in my head all day long. Still do that a lot. But yeah, running and gunning, wrecking cars, overdoses. I was involved in some shootings. I got to watch a friend of mine when I was 19 get shot. Really fucked me up. And so like when I reflect on that, you know, I look at my life and I know that my path was not, it wasn't meant for that. I was not supposed to go down that path. You know, I come from a family that, it was funny, it was just said it wasn't approved. You know, that was not something that I was supposed to be doing. You know, and early on when I got involved in drugs, it definitely, all of my love and creativity went to that. You know, I still tried to make my appearances. I still tried to go to school. I still tried to be a good kid. You know, I still did the best of my ability to stay on that path. But eventually, like all of us, I mean, you can't stay on it. So getting clean, right? So learning to love again. Learning to let go of self-centeredness. So I went to this rehab in Scott, Louisiana. I'm from New Orleans, right outside New Orleans. Born and raised. I spent a lot of time in New Orleans. Lived in New Orleans for about 10 years. Lived in Thibodaux. Lived in Mississippi. Got a felony in Mississippi. But I didn't. So I bounced around a lot. But so I went to this rehab in Lafayette. And I would imagine, like a lot of y'all, I was ready. I was absolutely ready, but I had no awareness about how dangerous this was or how serious it was. Like, I knew it was kicking my ass, but so I'm sitting in this rehab, and, you know, those first couple weeks, you're just kind of completely oblivious. And I went in on the January the 5th, my clean date is the 6th, and my dad's birthday was the 8th. And when I think back, I had no clue it was even his birthday. You know, I can't imagine that, you know, dragging your parents, you know, it's like the idea, the delusion that my parent, I didn't hurt anyone. You know, that's what I thought. I believed truly that, fuck it, I'm only hurting myself. Just let me do what the fuck I want to do. And so being in rehab, you know, those first couple weeks were just absolutely crazy. Like, I mean, I'm sweating, I'm detoxing, I'm sleeping, I'm trying to get my bearings. And they had, I think, like 21 or 22 people there. And in that process, there was this guy, Steven, right? And so he leaves. I think I had about maybe 2 weeks clean, something like that, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. But he had been there for a long time, and he leaves. right? And before he leaves, though, he's sharing, he's talking about all these, he's like reciting the book, he knows everything about the book, and he leaves, and he comes back in a week, like riddled with track marks. And I'm like, dude, what happened to you, man? Like, damn. And I remember, so I met this tech there named Randy. And after Stephen came back, I'm outside. We had gone to an outside meeting. And I'm standing out there smoking a cigarette, talking to him. And I said, bro, like, be serious with me. Like, how many of us is going to make it? And he looks at me and he goes, I'd be surprised if one of you motherfuckers make it. And he said, you better be that one. And it definitely lit something in me. So that point, I swear, I got the literature, you know, and the basic text. I swear, the first time I got it, I couldn't believe it. I don't know about y'all, but I literally couldn't believe when I found NA that there was a book written by addicts, you know. And I opened it. It's like, you know, many books have been written about the disease of addiction. This book concerns itself with the nature of recovery. Do yourself a favor and read it. And I just cried. And I think from that moment on, something inside of me opened up. I felt it. I don't know if it was peace or the beginning of love or hope that something was going to shift for me and change for me. I don't know, did the other speaker show up?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I'm timing myself. So after reading that, so I started to take it super serious, right? And I started reading, and I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to take this serious. And, you know, when I went to leave, so Randy set me up with a guy in Slido. I was going back. My parents live in Slido. And they were gracious enough to take me back in. You know, I hadn't worked in years. You know, no bank account. My credit's fucked. You know, I actually had credit at some point in my life. And just maxed them out and then, you know, never paid them, you know. And I thought, like, eventually they stopped calling. About 3 years or so, they just stopped calling. And I thought, damn, okay, finally they gave up. I didn't know how credit worked. But no, they don't. They send you a letter that says you're being sued. And so when I got home from rehab, I had to deal with a couple lawsuits. But so, yeah, I'm going to leave and I'm terrified. And I did what they said, though. You know what I mean? Because that Randy had said something to me, too. He said, I'm forgetting what I'm saying. Damn. Let me be real, okay? Let me just be fucking real. I got a friend of mine, okay, that I love so dearly, and I knew this was going to come out in this motherfucker. And I can't stop thinking about it. Okay, so I had a friend of mine. Like, when I got clean, right, I was pretty much homophobic. Made friends with this guy who's gay. He should be here. And I've been taking care of him 3 or 4 nights a week. So he had a stroke probably, I guess, maybe 6 months ago. He had another stroke 2 months ago. And now we've been taking care of him. So this journey of love, right? I have truly learned to love people in this process. And this person, it has been quite the journey, okay? So, like I said, I was probably homophobic. When I met him, I had maybe like 6 or 8 months clean. I met him in a convention in Lafayette, Louisiana. And he came up, he has these big-ass calves. And for the all that know him, he's got big-ass calves. And I'm like, damn, bro, look at those big-ass calves. Like, what's up with these big-ass calves? You ride bikes? He was like, yeah, we should go ride bikes sometimes. Well, the funny part of that is he doesn't ride bikes, but he was trying to hang out with me. And the cool part about that is over time we became great friends, okay? And they've been a huge part of my recovery. And I'm having a hard time even sharing today because I can't even, I have a lot of feelings. I've been exhausted. I started grad school. I'm working full time. I'm trying to navigate all these feelings. So it's been hard. It's kind of been crazy, honestly. I'm managing well, but it's been tough. So Now that that's out, maybe I can kind of find my flow. That's so I get home, I get clean, and you know, they talk about relationships, right? Don't get in a relationship your first year of recovery. Why do they say that? You know? So I knew nothing of love. And it was funny because there's this girl I used to hook up with all the time when I was using. I had about 6 months clean. She came out of rehab. She comes in the meeting. We start hanging out again. We start hooking up. And needless to say, it went wild. And it went bad. And she started using. I had sponsees, like at about a year clean. So right at about a year clean, she relapsed. Maybe it was about a year and a half because she was on finishing up drug court. And then she starts, you know, coming after my sponsees, you know. And so she starts hooking up with one of my sponsees. And I kept writing step work. I was making meetings. I'm in touch with a sponsor. I'm grinding it out. I'm trying to do everything I can. I'm still going to meetings. You know, they're showing up there. She's loaded. He's trying to fight me, you know. God damn, you know. And often when we have something in our lives that we think is the worst thing that ever happened to us, it ends up being the greatest thing that ever happened to us. So that relationship absolutely fucking destroyed me. I mean, it was so bad. I mean, if you haven't been in a meeting where you've got four or five people sharing on you, that shit sucks. You know, and so eventually I met up with the guy I was just talking about with the stroke, Lee and Paul. And I lost everybody in my area because everybody that I came up with, that's my only little network. And up until that point, maybe about a year, I hadn't really, I made outside meetings and I made functions. I made my first convention when I had like maybe 3 or 4 months. So I was spreading my wings, right? But so after that relationship and I had Lee start sponsoring me, he said, bro, don't go to meetings within an hour of your hometown. You know, so I didn't. I stopped going to meetings. And he also suggested, he said, dude, take 6 months of celibacy and work on yourself. And that's the funny thing about this whole addiction piece is it's not about the drugs. I got to a place darker in my first year of recovery than I think I was when I was using. Just because I was acting out so much. You know, my life was completely unmanageable almost again, even though I still was grinding. I think the only reason I didn't use it was I was working steps like a motherfucker. I mean, I worked all 12 steps my first year, and I've never stopped writing. I like keep writing and writing and writing. So I did that. I did 6 months. And you know what I found out after 6 months? I'm crazy as a motherfucker. I always thought, damn, I just need that perfect girl. You know, if I just had a good one and not a crazy one, everything would be fine. And then, so after 6 months, I'm like, bro, I'm crazy as shit. I'm going to do some more time. So I did a year. After a year, I was like, damn, I'm fucking crazy as fuck, dude. Like, I need. So I ended up doing 22 months. And in that 22 months, what I did was I went to meetings everywhere within 3 hours. So anywhere within 3 hours of New Orleans, I would drive. So, you know, they said the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. So I started to learn how to love myself. I was dating myself. I was going to the movies by myself, going to restaurants by myself, finding out all these different types of food that I loved. I was going to music shows by myself. I started to learn about me. And I tell you what, it's one of the most peaceful times I've ever had. I had the ability to be by myself. And I'll tell you, I feel like everyone should take that time because once you get to that space, you will not put up with fucking anything. You just won't. You're not willing to sacrifice your peace of mind. Because when I got clean, that's what I fucking wanted. I wanted peace of mind. I didn't care about cars or houses or this. I had no big dreams. I just wanted to be okay in my head. So in that journey, I tell you, so I was doing a lot of like stuff with God concepts. I was exploring that. I mean, I was raised in a religious home, and I had never really had the opportunity to explore what that meant to me. You know, so I was like going to temples, and I was asking people, and I was talking about all like the different religions, and I read books on religion, and did a lot of different practices, and I started like finding what was authentic to me. And so in the process of finding me and loving me, that, I think to me, that's like the big piece of the 12 steps, right? So in my using, when I was on that path that I talked about, right? So like, as a kid though, I was on a different path. You know, we have aspirations and we're like having fun and trying to live life and we have high hopes. And then once we start using, it's all gone. You know, and I think I'll never forget this first experience of the 12 steps. So I was sitting at a kitchen table, and I remember getting to the 12th step, and like one of the first couple questions is, have you had any spiritual awakenings, and what has that been like? And I shit you not, in my mind I heard, Mom, Dad, I'm home. And what that meant to me was that I was finally, I could see it. I could actually conceptualize I was back on the path. The one I was gone from so many fucking years ago, I finally came back on it. And so it became more and more important. So like, of course, like most of us in the beginning, we're using, we're fucking obsessed, like, and then we get clean, and then we're all like gung-ho, NA, like I'm making meetings every single day, I'm writing obsessively. I don't know if everybody's journey is like that, but that's how it was for me. In my, because my addiction, they told me to put my addiction on my recovery. And so that's what I did. I focused on my recovery. But also, I started to realize that I was still very self-obsessed. My life was not very balanced. I made time for my family, and I would like, you know, I was doing amends and stuff like that, but I wasn't truly like getting outside of myself, you know. And I started sponsoring people, but I was still super, super self-centered. And so like a big piece of this journey, right? So after 22 months of celibacy, I started to try to date again, okay? I don't know if any of y'all ever taken a long, long break from dating and then you start trying to date again. It's fucking crazy. But for the first time in my life, I actually kind of knew a little bit about myself. And I started to understand fit. I started to understand like maybe a little bit more what I was looking for, because they told me to make a list of the things I wanted in a partner and then become those things. And in that time I had become much more of those things, and I was much more calm and centered. I knew I had much more authenticity. When somebody said, let's go do that, I knew the things I didn't really care to do, but I was willing to do with a partner. And then I also knew the things that I wasn't willing to do with a partner. So finding who I am, and I know I'm all over the place. It's just been a crazy couple of weeks, but it's funny how the mind can fuck with you so much, you know. And I knew this would probably happen, which is okay. Just know that if you ever come up here and speak and it's not great and it doesn't feel great, it's okay. So let me tell you, maybe I'll just talk a little bit about what's going on again, because that's what's coming up in my mind. So lately, I started grad school about 5 weeks ago, and I've been taking care of this buddy of mine 3 or 4 nights a week. So I'm waking up at like 6 a.m., or like 5:30. I'm going to work at 6 a.m. so I can study. For work, then I work all day, and then I get out and I study, and then I go take care of my buddy and sleep over there at his house, and then do it all over again for a couple nights. And the truth is, I've been fucking exhausted, and I'm having like a really hard fucking time with this, because like I said, He and I have become so close. We've traveled. They saved my ass. After that really bad relationship, they took me in. They took me everywhere. I felt like I had no one. They taught me how to love. And I'm just so grateful. And I'm gonna give it up right there. I don't know. I'm having a really hard time today. So I am grateful to be here. I'm grateful that y'all asked me. I'm gonna wrap it up right there. Thanks. I don't blabber.
We'll have our next speaker.
I'm shorter. Luckily, I'm a pro at these microphones because of karaoke. Yes, don't get me started up in here on this recording. My name is Ashley, I'm an addict. Thank you so much to the man who just shared before me. This is an extremely vulnerable topic for me, and I'm not confused why God thought it would be appropriate for me to share on this today. And so, where's Matt? Is he in here?
He had to step out.
Okay. Of course he did. So, he asked me to share on this months ago. And of course, because of Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life. Narcotics Anonymous is the only reason why I'm even able to stand before you today. And so anytime I am asked to show up to give a piece of myself, it is an absolute honor and privilege to do that, no matter how scary, no matter how vulnerable, no matter how emotional it is. I know the value of one addict helping another because it is the reason I am alive today. And so, of course, I said, absolutely. And then I was like, you motherfucker, like, that topic. And he was like, yeah, I know. So here we are. I was meditating prior to this meeting, and I was like off alone. And it's amazing how my God works and gives me exactly what I need when I need it. And at that time, this gentleman right here just happened to walk by as I was meditating and stopped and said, are you meditating? And I said, yes. He said, would you like for me to pray with you? So he kneels down and he prays with me. That is the power of this program, right? No matter our differences, no matter if we care for each other or not, we are all at different stages at any point in our recovery. And there are times where I don't like a lot of you. Because I don't like myself, right? And that's what I've learned in this process, is that when I have an issue with you, it's because I'm refusing to look at the issue I have with myself. So it's so much easier to focus on how you suck than it is to look in the mirror and see where I suck to be better. And so I'm not a literature quoter by memory. That is just not how my brain works. However, I am a firm believer in our literature, and I also know that our literature is why I was able to identify and connect with this program when I got here and throughout the life events that I have continued to experience since I've been here. And so I do want to start with a passage from our Living Clean. And it says, it can be hard to admit But the times we most desire to be in a relationship are often the moments when we are least equipped to handle one. So many of us struggle with the fear that we will never have a partner, and that not having a life partner means we will always be alone. This kind of fear leads to panic and to pain. When we are lonely, sad, or trying to distract ourselves, we may be willing to settle for the things that are not actually what we want in the long term. When our priority is simply not being alone, we are likely to compromise our values or our priorities, to commit too quickly to a person we are just getting to know. There's an old saying, be careful what you pray for, you might get it. We mistake intensity or sex for intimacy, and we are likely to think something is serious when we've really just been seeking distraction and a fix. Or we settle for sex when we really want love. And that is my story. I grew up constantly seeking worthiness, evidence to prove that I was lovable, because I didn't have a mother who felt that way about herself, so she couldn't give me that. So all I saw was her finding ways and means through relationship after relationship after relationship. I was conditioned to believe that I had to have a man or be in a relationship in order to be seen as worthy. I learned at a very young age that sex equaled love, and that as long as I was laying down, I was getting up with love. However, that is actually not what happened. That was a belief system that was inaccurate, and it was a belief system that I have spent a majority of my, not only my life, but my recovery trying to prove. I am extremely grateful for sponsorship, for the 12 steps, for the traditions, for these meetings, for the fellowship, for a pathway to a connection to God, to myself. Without that, I would not be standing here before you, sharing from the depth of my soul my experience with this topic. All I have done is loved everyone else at the expense of me. So I am a relationship addict because my first drug of choice was love. I just had no idea how to get it in a healthy way. And so, much like the dope, I would find ways and means to get more. And like the previous share about the suggestion, you know, it's not necessarily in our literature per se, but it is a suggestion not to get in a relationship for a year. And I remember when I got clean and the women, my predecessors, one in particular said, at one point, you're going to be alone, right? At one point in your recovery. Well, I thought I was alone in my first year, right? Because I didn't get into my first relationship until after I celebrated a year. However, I fucked my way through my first year. And so what I've learned through my work is that if I'm laying down with someone, regardless if it's a one-night stand or someone I'm continuing to sleep with more than once. I am not single. I'm not single. Because I am giving myself away. I am allowing my soul to be penetrated by something that is not healthy for me. And so because of that, I continued into these relationships. And after I got out of that first relationship, because I'm in relationships for the long haul. Like, I stay in relationships. I stay in relationships so motherfucking long, I don't know who the fuck I am anymore when I leave them. And I stay so long that I had to blow shit up and act out of character, go against all my morals, all my values, in order to be justified in walking away and taking care of me. So, I've cheated. That was the grenade I threw every time. And so, when I got out of that relationship, I did not want commitment. And I refused to sleep around within the program. I did it outside the program because I had to come in here and sit with y'all, and I really didn't give a fuck to see 5-10 motherfuckers that I slept with in a meeting where I'm trying to motherfucking live and survive. So I did it outside of these rooms. However, I found myself in a really dark place, much like our previous share. I have found myself in darker places clean than I ever did using. And the hope shot is that as long as I continue to do the work, I find the light again. And I find the light again on such a deep level that I'm not willing to give it away anymore. And so after that relationship, I didn't want commitment, and I wanted to do and live in a way that had always been done to me. So I found myself sleeping with 3 married men, not at the same time. I spaced them out. And my 10th step saved my life. My 10th step saved my life in that. And I remember looking in the mirror, and for the first time in my life, being able to look myself in the eye and say, Ashley, what you're doing is not okay, but we're going to get through it because I'm going to love you through it. And I don't know what that looks like, but we have a program and literature and sponsorship and a God that says you're worthy today. And so I remember being outside, and I said to God, okay, God, if it's meant for me to be alone, I surrender. If it's meant for it to just be me and my 2 children, I give it to you and I am okay with it. Well, then 30 days later, he sent me my future husband. And so I thought, God's will, duh, right? Like, why else would he come into my life if God did not send him? Here is the kicker. I can make anything God's will.
Yes.
Don't ever underestimate the power I have to make my will align with God's will. Here's the problem. It's not sustainable. So, this man wanted to marry me and my children, and so I did, because I felt that my children needed a 2-parent household because I didn't have that. Society conditions that. I conditioned that into that belief system that was, again, inaccurate. And so just like where it said where I would put this over my priorities, right? So my priorities being myself, my priorities being the mother that my children needed. But I thought this is what they needed. In spite of them telling me, even at the young age that they were, that they didn't want that. All they wanted was me. And I married him anyway. And so in that process, I lost myself in a way that I never even thought was possible. By the end of my marriage, I didn't even recognize the woman in the mirror. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and damn sure spiritually. And so once again, in order to be justified into putting myself first, I cheated. Because I knew if I did, there was no way I would go back. However, that time, the shame, the work that I had done up to that point, the value system that I had built within myself, I was no longer okay with that behavior. I was no longer okay with utilizing the survival skills that I've had to use my entire life that no longer serves me in recovery. So I proceeded, 3 relationships later, but I did something different in those. I didn't stay as long. I walked away from each one of them with my head held high, not ashamed of how I handled myself. And in one of those relationships, I didn't know that I was going to make it out clean. And it is only by the grace of God and the women that I had in my life, because I would literally call my people and I would say, this is what's going on. I know that it's not okay. And I know that I deserve better and that I don't deserve to be treated that way. But I'm going to just be real honest with you. I'm going back. And all I need from you is a safe place to tell you the truth, because I know if I have that, I will be able to leave. I just can't right now. And it was just like the dope. Relationships for me are just like the dope. When at the end of the road, at the end of that one, God sent me another one, right? Because it was God, duh. He knew I needed out of that other one so bad, and he knew that I was already at that point, and he just needed to bring someone in my life to push me out of that one, right? And I jumped. I got out of that one into another one, just like my previous pattern had been my whole life. Again, though, I want to stress this so deeply. Feelings are universal. Just because it feels the same doesn't mean it's the same. I'm going to say that again. Just because it feels the same doesn't mean that it is. Because it felt the same. But what I was doing was breaking the cycles of my previous behaviors passed down to me from generations. That is the power of this program. So I left that relationship long before any harm was caused. I just recognized that this is not in alignment. This is not what I want. Nothing's wrong with him. Nothing's wrong with me. I've never dated. I'd meet you, and then you were the one. The fuck? Like, I mean, who's got time for that? Ain't nobody got time to date. Fuck that shit. This behind me, lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise. I was in San Antonio last weekend and I was asked to share on the 11th step, and I realized that day that I knew there was something better even at a young age. I just didn't know how to manifest it. I didn't know how to tap into it. And I remember at 15 years old, I said, I want to wait until I'm married to lose my virginity. Because even at that young of an age, I knew that it wasn't just something to make you feel good. I knew, even at that young of an age, that it was a connection of souls when you lay down with someone. But because I laid down with the people that I did that were not in alignment with my soul, I have spent a majority of my life in recovery questioning my worth, questioning my identity. Because what we don't realize is when we allow someone in like that, we carry their shit too. And so May 17th, your girl will have been celibate for 2 years. I have not gone that long. This is, I lost my virginity at 15. And I never thought I would get here. And so when they say, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle, sometimes the miracle is a decade. And in my case, it was over 17 years. And so I don't question who the fuck I am, because I don't have all these outside entities and their thoughts and their beliefs confusing mine. And when I am struggling with that, because I'm human and I do get confused about my worth sometimes, God is there to remind me. Because I will tell you today, in the 11th step, God is my everything. And when they said to me, when I first got clean, God was always there. I'm the one who turned my back. Right? God is my mother. God is my father. God is my best friend, my companion. I have done some deep work over these last 2 years to connect with those younger parts of myself, to learn how to recognize throughout the different stages of development and the conditioning on those younger selves. I've learned how to acknowledge them, how to hold space for them, and how to redirect that old belief system and take the power back that I have today as the adult self that I am, with the tools that I have from this program, to reestablish new belief systems. It is some deep and powerful work. My goal is to help women, to help the newcomer, help men in whatever capacity that is, to get it a lot sooner than I did. Because it's painful. And it's a miracle that I've stayed clean through it all. My daughter has the same patterns. And what I get to see through the work that I'm doing is she's 21 and she looks up to me and she sees what I'm doing, which is changing the course of how she views herself. And so she's messaging me saying, I would be fucking lost without you. And this is a child who I never regained custody of in this program. I got clean when she was 2, fought in court, trial after trial, child support court, all the things for well over a decade. A child who did not want to live with me. A child who fought to even come see me. Says that she would be lost without me today. That's the power of this program, is that we together can accomplish and achieve anything. Anything. It may take some time, and that's okay. These fucking rooms aren't going anywhere. And we don't have to if we choose to stay. It is such an honor to be here. It is such an honor to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I am more passionate and on fire for this program than even when I first got clean. Because I understand the depth and the magnitude in a way that my brain and my emotional immaturity could even fathom back then. And I still have a lot of work to do. And I'm not confused about that. And I want to do the work. I know that I'll be in this program for the rest of my life. And I'm good with that. Sometimes I don't like being around y'all. Right? Because we recover in here, but we also cause harm in here. Right? We all go through some shit in here. And there have been some feeling changes throughout my area. Because I do. I recover out loud. And I have been kind of stuck on this deflection with my area. Like the people who have treated me differently since leaving my marriage and this and that and the other. That it's them and whatever. And God has dropped on me this week that that's such a small percentage of people in the grand scheme of things. So I've allowed my disease to separate me from my area because of a small select few. And it's okay. Like, not everyone has to like me today. That's not where my worth is grounded anymore. I no longer have to find ways and means to adjust who the fuck I am to satisfy you. You don't like me? Cool. Like, that's fine. You be respectful. I'll be respectful. We can coexist and keep it fucking moving. And check this out. We don't even have to hug because I don't need that negative energy on my spirit. So we can love each other from afar. We weren't created to like and love every single person. It's impossible. It's too much energy. I can love you from a distance, from one human to another, one recovering addict to another. But I no longer have to separate myself because you don't like me. Because guess what? I like me.
Hey.
I saw this sweater in San Antonio. I love going to Walmart when I'm out of town. And so I saw this sweater in San Antonio last weekend, and they didn't have my size. And I was like, motherfucker. And we got here last night, I was like, we got to go to Walmart. And they had it in my size. And I was like, yes, I'm wearing this tomorrow. Because I do. This program has taught me to love myself radically, regardless of where I'm at. To love myself through the pain, because I know I can get to the other side. I have all the evidence that has proven that. That I no longer have to love you at the expense of myself. That if I have to self-abandon, you're not meant to be in my life. And I'm okay with letting that go today. I no longer have to hold on to something to try to get you to like me or love me to prove that I'm worthy. Like, I can just let it go. I've never been able to do that before. I have never been able to do that before. So, I'm extremely grateful for this work and everything that God has provided me through this program. So I'm going to end with a passage out of our basic text, which is so crazy because I always pray and I just open the book based on where God wants me to go. And this is exactly what God had me read last weekend from the 11th step in San Antonio. There's not a coincidence there. We find ourselves praying because it brings us peace and restores our confidence and courage. It helps us to live a life that is free of fear and distrust. When we remove our selfish motives and pray for guidance, we find feelings of peace and serenity. We begin to experience an awareness and an empathy with other people that was not possible before working this step. As we seek our personal contact with God, we begin to open up as a flower in the sun. We begin to see that God's love has been present all the time, just waiting for us to accept it. We do the footwork and accept what's being given to us freely on a daily basis. We find relying on God becomes more comfortable for us. My hope and prayer is that we all get that. That's all I got. Thanks.